Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
With a week o' dag. That's what's happening this week. David Alan Greer all week long. Phone number one, low energy, that man. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is
the devil.
Beelzebub.
Beelzebub, I'm here, Dr. Drew.
But he will take the form of David Alan Greer shortly this evening.
Have a bad day.
Thank you. And he was in, Beelzebub was interested in talking about holiday blues and this sort of thing. But I'm looking at the screen here and I've got orgasm, climbing rope in gym class, ejaculation, female ejaculation, threesome.
It's a bad time.
Trying to have a pregnant.
This is a bad time of year because, you know, it's Christ's birthday. And that's really bad for you.
That's bad for you no matter what.
I come into my own Halloween. That's really what I like to do.
That's
you
good.
Know? Yes. Take the souls of young ones, as I always call it, you know. Do we have any suicide goals? Anything bad?
Anything meat? Be good. Good. Bad.
Well, that's good for me.
Yes, good.
What's bad for you is good for me.
Nice.
By the way, thank you, dear. Have a bad day.
Would you would you like to Beelzebub? Would you like to speak to Cindy, who has orgasm climbing a rope? Or
well, that would mean she feels good. I don't want to.
You don't want that.
Someone who's lost a limb, perhaps.
Here's
by
somebody
a car.
Trying to get back at a boyfriend.
There we go. That's something I would like.
Okay, Bethany, 17. Bethany.
Hello.
Maybe she's already killed herself.
What's going on? David Alan Greer will be joining us soon tonight, but in his stead, we have Beelzebub.
Beelzebub, evil. Have a wonderful, wonderfully bad evening.
I'm like your biggest fan. I've been listening since I was like 13.
Wow, that's great.
Let me check my roster. What's your last name, dear? I don't see you here yet. Well, I'll see you eventually in hell.
What's that, Bethany?
My mom died in front of me when I was 8 and a half.
Well, like, that's your doing.
We were talking.
I mean, not you, Bethany. That's Beelzebub.
Thank you. I thank you.
Like, we were talking, and, like, she just had a heart attack and died.
Wow.
And then,
oh, my
yeah.
goodness. Oh, how awful.
And, like,
how old were you?
I was 8 and a half.
How old was she?
She was 42.
You sure it wasn't, like, a brain hemorrhage or something?
Well, no, because, like, she started breathing, like, hyperventilating.
Yeah.
And, then, like, I didn't know what to do, so, like, I called my babysitter, and they came over and, like, ran over there, because this was, like, a little small rinky-dink town, and so I didn't know what to do. My stepdaddy, he was at work. He worked at a plant for, actually, Polaris up in Minnesota, and so they came over, and we called 911, and they got her back, then she went into another heart attack, and apparently what happened was she had a heart condition. She was sick for a really long time.
Okay.
And she has like 13 different medications. I mean,
she had a long-standing medicine
and everything.
Okay, that makes more
sense. Enough with the good news. Let's get to the question.
Then I had to go move with my real dad and my stepmom.
Oh my!
And yeah, I had never met this man in my life. I've never heard his voice. I've only seen one picture of him, and I would get a Christmas card every year on my birthday and at Christmas, and that's all I would hear from him.
And now is your parent.
Yes.
Okay, so what's happening today? What's happening now? We got the background. It's a setup for a good story for Beelzebub.
It's already been a good story.
My stepmom did not like kids, never wanted kids.
Okay, but no, I got enough background to know the kinds of choices you're going to make. So tell me about your a-hole boyfriend.
Yes. Yes, I got...
Tell me about him.
Well, what happened was he was my first boyfriend. I fell in love with him. After 3 months, he asked me to marry me.
How old is he?
He's 18. He's 11.
Okay.
And
we pray to God. I mean, sorry, Beelzebub.
Excuse me.
I beg your pardon.
Don't you ever.
But we hope that you said no.
No.
You said yes?
No, you said no. Or no, you said yes. Or yes, you said no.
And
or no, you said yes to no.
You know, here I am, and I had a horrible home life. Parents emotionally, physically abusive. I was in drugs. I turned out to be diagnosed manic depressive, bipolar, multiple personality.
Ooh.
Been on almost every, you know,
and I really have. Do you really have multiple?
Yeah.
Ooh,
according to
right
the school, who because I was failing all my classes. And they thought it was because, you know, of all, like, I wasn't smart enough and everything. Turns out I was above average in IQ intelligence, and I was just getting bored with the stuff, and they wouldn't believe me.
What does that have to do with MPD? This is what's now called.
They gave me a psychology, all the psychology tests and everything, find out why I was flunking, and it turns out that they said that I have multiple personalities.
Yeah, we have like dissociative identity disorder. But anyway, okay, Bethany, what's going on now? It's the boyfriend that's an a-hole that you agreed to marry. What's
Sounds
he done?
Good so far.
What's he done?
Like, I keep wanting to, like, I can't get over him. And, like, I'm, like, right now, I think I'm pregnant. I know I'm not pregnant, but I've been having, like, phantom pregnancies. And, like, I've been, like, my wrist and my arms, like, all tore up and everything like that because I can't get over him. I want to get over him.
You've been cutting?
New life, but I can't.
You've been cutting?
Yes.
Very good.
You need to get back in proper care, you know, psychiatric care, psychology. You need to, though.
My parents won't pay for it. And if my parents find out, they're just going to ship me off somewhere.
How old are you?
I've been a 17. Habitual cutter. I mean, I have scars over me. I've been habitually cutting for like 5 years now.
Well, look, here's the reality, Bethany. You've got extremely serious psychiatric problems.
Nothing wrong with that.
2 minutes on the radio is going to do nothing except encourage you to take care of it. This guy's an a-hole. He really isn't the problem. The problem is the sort of the neurology that gets you stuck with these things and the psychology of that. And there are people that can help you with that. You're 17. Go to a county facility. Look for a county mental health facility and go in and ask for help.
Or you can always come to the dark side. Enjoy your year in hell.
I think she visits there. I think one of her personalities visits regularly.
And who is that?
I mean, it's
Damien.
It's really weird because, like, I don't think I have multiple personalities, but at the same time, I think I do because, like, I have been satanic. I have been Christian.
I have been
Wiccan. Whenever my parents told me I was moving from Dallas to Arkansas, I was like, oh, no, thank you. I'm not moving.
There's nothing. It sounds like you're on the right path.
And so I went.
With the satanic rituals and the Santeria.
Have you sacrificed a child yet?
I painted my wall red, and I took black paint, and I put on there, I heart Damien, I heart 66.
Very good.
I want to carry Damien in my stomach. I'm a vampire.
Wonderful.
I have blood and all that crazy stuff.
Yes.
I mean, I have actually done the satanic rituals
Very
and everything
good.
Like that. You know,
did you enjoy it?
It was scary. I used to see demons in my bedroom.
Nothing wrong with that.
If I skip the medicine, I would still see like demons.
Oh, stay off that medicine. Don't do that.
But do that. And try to get some more help. Pay no attention to the voices in the background.
Pay no attention to Dr. Drew.
That is the Beelzebub.
Come to the dark side.
Bethany, come on. When is enough enough? And when are you going to get some
Bethany,
help?
Never, Bethany. Never.
You've been through enough. You've talked about, you're aware how horrible your life has been. The chaos, the trauma, the deaths, the losses, the abusive people. Let's get over it. And by the way, you're a drug addict, right?
What's wrong with that?
Yes, you are. That's not a yes and no. There's a yes. And you're a setup for drug addiction with your history and all. So go to a 12-step program, then. That's free. Get a sponsor.
12 steps to hell.
And that's your new book, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's really a pamphlet.
It's a pamphlet?
Yes. Written in Old English.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes. That was some of my greatest work. They had the plague. You've heard of it, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
Well done. So, Bethany, look, get to whatever your drug of choice was, cocaine, narcotics, get to a 12-step meeting.
Sounds lovely.
Get a sponsor. Spend some time with other people. If you're not willing to get some professional help with the county mental health, which will treat you for free, do get some appropriate connection with 12-step.
Dr. Drew, I'd like to stay the whole show, but I've got to set off some car bombs in Kabul.
Okay.
I'll see you later.
Good night.
Bad day.
Bad day.
Bad night.
Bad night.
Bad evening.
Bad.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Drew, I just got here.
Oh, good. David Allen Greer, buddy. David Allen Greer.
Well, who was on before? I didn't. Was someone else here?
No, you did you see somebody?
I didn't see any. Yeah, it smells weird. It smells like death in here.
Well, you know.
Good vibes.
You know, I'll tolerate anybody in that seat.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry I was late, you know. But listen, I was listening on the radio. What do you think about a school...
They're telling somebody
diagnosing someone as a multiple personality.
I'm just consider the reporting source, and
well,
I think
well,
the story.
Think back to your school, Dr. Drew.
She's 17, though.
Okay, 17.
When we were kids, they used to do all kinds of weird stuff. Now,
yeah, but would you trust your shop teacher to tell you that you were a multiple personality
guy? But I bet you the school didn't actually make a diagnosis.
Really?
I bet they referred her for help and somebody made a diagnosis.
I don't know. They have, I mean, it's different now. You know, yeah. I have friends who have kids in school. They recommend your kid has to be on medication. Yes, your kid is obviously.
No, they do, but they don't do the, here's what I have found. What? Is that the schools know there's something wrong, but they're extremely unsophisticated about how to do the testing, how the diagnostic workups are done, and who to send people to.
Right.
And so they say, go get help, right. But they are not themselves much help in delivering the diagnostic message or getting them to the right people necessarily.
Listen, Dr. Drew, before we go any further, I want to give a big shout out to Nick Lachey. He's just won the lottery. He was married to a banging broad, Jessica Simpson. He's about to get paid. It's your lucky day, Nikki. She filed for divorce, and he gets half, no prenup. Congratulations, Nick. You are our man, love line man of the night.
I got to tell you, I have always thought that those two, I don't see them getting divorced. I don't see it.
Well, you know, when she gets the tab, I guarantee there will be an immediate
reconciliation. No, I think there's something there with those two.
Well, she's dating her dad now. I think that's what's really going on.
Oh, that's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem. That's not good.
Very tight family.
That Beelzebub might set up.
Well, he's gone. It just have me, Davy G. He left. He's not here. I'm sorry. What?
How do you know he was?
I don't know. Beelzebub. What are you looking at me like that for, Dr. Drew? Nothing. Next caller!
Okay, here's
Let's
Dave.
Save some babies.
Dave, 28.
Oh, no, not the same Dave. I can't take much more compliments. I really can't. That almost, I had to take a knee last night.
Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey. Okay, I'll give you the question, and then I'll tell you the story.
Yeah.
Question is my marriage over?
Okay.
Yes.
The story is, me and my wife have been married 6 years going on seven. She's always been into women, and we kind of have had threesomes with her friends here and there, and it wasn't really all that great for her or me because, I don't know, lack of experience or whatever. It just wasn't a good deal.
It's weird.
It was weird. About a month ago, this girl approached me and said that she wanted to be with my wife.
How did she know to ask you that?
I'm sorry?
What a strange thing for someone to walk.
See, a guy would never do that. Guy would never. Yeah. Dr. Drew, I dig your wife. Can I be with her? No.
Right. No. So I'm thinking, okay, this is my opportunity.
Wait. I need more information. Where were you? Dave, where were you when this happened?
Work.
She's a coworker?
She is.
Did you know that she and your wife had hooked up? Had you guys ever had a threesome with
her? Or have
this
you been having
person?
Conversations with her about your swinging history?
No. Some girls just come out and say that kind of stuff, I think, sometimes for, like, attention. You know, guys will respond to it easier and bring them more attention, you know?
Wait a minute. How did she say, I want to be with your wife? Did you say your wife's really hot? I'd love to hook up with her? What did she say?
Basically, yeah. She went, God, your wife is really cute, and... Okay. God, it would be great if I could just hook up with her. And she kind of said it jokingly, right?
Okay.
Right. And I called the bluff. I went, well, then fine, because she's into other women. Let's go.
Well,
and
okay.
I expected her to say, well, no, I'm hooked up with this guy, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that's where it would go. But it didn't. She was dating this other guy. She dumped him right away and said, okay, let's all get together. And I went, well, okay, no problem. You know, come on over this night and, you know, let's not do it right away. Let's kind of talk and be friends kind of thing first, you know.
All right, what happened?
And that wasn't a big deal. We were friends and everything. Well, then the next week she came and she stayed for the week and threesomes ensued.
All right, here's the deal. There is way more here in each of you than you're sort of allowing us to see or maybe know yourself to tell us about. I mean, this is you know, huge chaos, lots of boundary violations.
And lots of fun.
Fine, enjoy.
But here's the weird thing. Here's the weird thing, though. He said that you'd said that you guys had done some threesomes before. It never really worked out.
No. We had with other friends, not with this.
Right. I know. But you said that in these other threesomes, neither one of you really enjoyed it. You weren't really into it. So why would you pursue it again if it was not really good? It wasn't something you really enjoyed. Why would you pursue it again? That's all I wonder.
It sounds petty, but the other girls were kind of fugly.
Okay.
Okay, I weren't really all that attractive to my wife or me. We were still kind of like experimenting, like, is this something we're going to get into?
I know.
So actually, it was something that we could get into.
Before you got the Rolls Royce, you went with the Volkswagen.
Right.
All right, Dave. Give us some more history about the background of you and your wife. I mean, who are the drug addicts here?
I am.
Okay, you're a drug addict.
And
who's got the borderline personality?
Let me rephrase that. I'm not as bad of a drug addict anymore. I only smoke weed nowadays.
That's fine. So
what did you used to do?
And she doesn't do anything at all anymore.
No,
she drops
anymore. Everything. Okay.
Wait a minute. What did you used to do? What was your drug of choice?
There was like three. Always mixed LSD and cocaine.
Okay. That sounds wonderful to me.
I kind of fried my brain doing that. I deeply regret it, truly.
Here's the way somebody with my training looks at this. The ladies have what we call a borderline personality, or these traits.
Now explain that to us.
It's a very primitive, you know, it's an arrested development.
I want you.
And it's associated with a lot of chaos, lot of drama, a lot of drugs and alcohol.
Right.
And they tend to be very attracted. Now, Dave, I'm not calling you this name. This is not meant to be disparaging.
Just get it out, Dr.
No,
Drew.
because people hear this word, they go, oh, I'm not that, but towards the more sociopathic males.
Right.
And I'm not saying either of you have those labels, but those are the qualities in your personalities. And that tends to result in these kinds of cases.
When you say sociopath to me, I say a guy who's very social.
No.
Walking down his own path, independent, loves people.
Sociopath.
And let me tell you what that mean by that. And Dave, you really are this. You're very entertaining, very charming, lovely to be around. But reality is, your only concern is Dave, and that's a particular personality style, and that's fine. You know, I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm saying these are personality styles. No, I'm really not.
I think you are.
What I'm afraid people are going to take.
That's what I take.
By me being like that, is that going to end my marriage? Because I am very concerned about myself.
Well, I think that.
Say yes, because I'll tell you why.
No, I can't say that.
Well, wait a minute.
Borderline sociopaths always go together.
But how can you said, did you end your marriage? No, you didn't end your marriage. You didn't, you know, your wife, whether or not she decides to be with this other woman, that's her decision. You can't come in tomorrow and say, I want this to end. If she says,
I'm not following you.
What? I mean, he said that it's his fault.
Both he and the other lady want his wife. Is that the situation now?
Well, see, it's kind of weird. The situation right now is that both ladies kind of want me because the other girl has moved in now.
Mm-hmm.
She's living with us currently.
Yeah.
And now both of them want to have my baby.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can end that.
And that's understandable.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? It's good times.
Wait a minute. He can end it. What I'm saying is, he's saying, did he end his marriage? No. But he can end the situation.
How?
To walk in tonight if he wants to and say, I don't want you living here.
So
he can tell his wife,
get rid of the one.
Right? He can tell his wife, I don't want to live like this
anymore. I want to recommit to the marriage.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's live a different way. Let's get into some treatment and let's try and solve this big, huge problem that we have.
I agree with David wholeheartedly. That would be the first step. The next step would be to get into some sobriety, some 12-step, and have somebody do a marriage counseling. Because I don't want to. I would never ring a death knell. I never give up.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Just because you guys have these personality traits doesn't mean that you can't go together. In fact, that creates great passion sometimes, but it also creates great chaos and great problems.
Well, one thing he should do before you make any decisions, you go home tonight, young man, and you bang the bejesus out of both of them. Next caller!
Okay. Man, that is a rough one.
That is, man, that's
complex.
Good stuff there,
Lacey,
boy.
24.
Lacey.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi, Lacey.
How are you?
Very good. And you?
I'm great.
Good. Next caller!
What's your question, my dear?
I have a question about female ejaculation.
Of course.
When I do it...
That's what you call striking a chord with David.
When I do it, it is a large amount.
God bless you. Are you in the LA area?
No, I'm not.
Hello, Cleveland!
And so,
I've got my paddle in my canoe now, my darling.
What?
When I'm with a new man,
yes.
I'm so embarrassed about it that I try to hold back from orgasm.
No, the guys, have the guys ever said,
have you ever gotten a guy who date number two says, honey, if you do that again, I am so out of here?
No,
or do you have the guy going, oh, ha ha, doing a touchdown dance?
the whole rest of the next day on the playground. Guess what I did?
Yes.
It was me. Me.
Lacey, men are very impressed when they can produce something.
Absolutely.
And if you really want to make it special, just go, wow, that's incredible.
You did this to me. Or if you have this talent, a little food coloring, you may want to try different colors of liquids.
But
right?
It's so much that I tend to soak a bit. I mean, like, I tend to soak all the way through whatever I'm laying on.
Lacey, you're sending David into ecstasy
nothing
here.
Wrong with that.
Come on.
Beelzebub's about to come back.
Beelzebub has.
So what is your question? You want to be a dried up old prune? Is that what you want us to tell you how to be?
My question is, I mean, is that really what I'm doing? Or is it, you know, because I know that the bladder can hold a lot. I'm going to
it could be urine.
School.
Yeah, it can be urine sometimes, too, but usually it's not. Not at your age. Not unless you've had a baby.
Okay, no, I have not. But I've had a couple of surgeries, not on my bladder or anything, but
where?
Enough that they've cut through my stomach a couple of times, and I didn't know if that would affect anything or not.
What were the surgeries
for? Because I never did this with my husband.
What were the surgeries for?
I had my spleen taken out, and I had...
Do you have ITP or something?
What's ITP?
Do you have ITP? Do you have immune thrombocytopenia purpura?
No.
Immune thrombocytopenia purpura.
Why did you have your spleen out?
I had mono, and after I was getting better, I lifted a fireplace and tore my spleen, and it ended up causing blood to leak out and swell up the size of a football.
You lifted a fireplace?
Kind of, yeah.
Are you a big girl?
I'm sturdy. Uh-oh. I grew up on a farm.
Sturdy.
You're sturdy. You're milk fed, aren't you?
How much do you weigh?
No, I'm not real fat. I'm 185.
Ooh.
Sturdy.
You 7-8 feet tall, are you, honey?
No, I'm 5'5".
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
I mean,
big
I'm
girls
not
need
huge.
Love, too.
I'm not
come
where
on.
I should be in weight-wise either, but, you know, I'm not 300 pounds. So.
No.
Or 400.
Or 1,200, for that matter.
For that matter, yeah.
Okay, Lacey, this is not a problem. We deem it a non-problem, okay?
You are blessed.
Okay.
You are blessed.
Hey, David, I want to ask you, thank you, Lacey, a difficult question that I have
Shoot
noticed.
Shoot away.
And I'm really curious.
Shoot away.
In terms of the kind of person that seems to be attracted to the large ladies.
Yeah.
I've noticed it tends to be, and strikes me as potentially comical, but I'm actually quite serious about it. Mm. Men with darker skin.
No, I'm not a big girl guy.
No, you're really not, I know, but really there tends to be, there's something there. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. You're saying every black guy likes big fat
No,
black,
I'm, no,
big
I'm
black,
not.
White, white,
no,
white.
I'm not. I'm not.
Well,
I'm
really there's, a couple, serious, of, there's a couple of areas there. Now, I know that there was a survey done in terms of when they ask young women their self-image, and usually white women will say, I'm too fat. They could be 110 pounds.
Yeah, women always, or whatever
black
it is, not
women,
right.
Overall majority are happy and satisfied and confident with the way
that's
they
true.
Look.
I've read that, yes.
Other than that, I cannot answer your question. I mean, why don't you do a field study? Then go down and look around. Dr. Drew is leaning in very closely. He really wants to know.
No, I've heard it. I've heard it said. I've noticed it. There's just a...
By whom? Who have you heard it said? By medical colleagues? At the AMA meeting?
Well,
did you hear that?
This is not being... Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
Racist? Listen, I think so.
I just call the guy a sociopath and borderline because
you
that's a pattern.
You are a sociopath.
That's a pattern.
You
Dave.
Are insane. And next caller!
I'm just interested in patterns that people have, and I believe
I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not a big girl guy. My philosophy is always start small, they're going to get bigger.
No, I know. I know that's not your thing. But
I would like an anorexic.
But you have no
really.
Sense of, well, guys, let's put it this way. Guys that are into that, whatever their orientation,
genetics,
their whatever.
Right, I know guys that are into that, like that was their fetish. Meaning, I know guys who had banging girlfriends.
That do that.
Banging girlfriends, but the chick that they had on the side was huge. Because that's what they really liked.
What? And that's fun. It's great. I mean, for the ladies, it's good for the women that are big
well,
like
yeah,
that.
But I mean, to me, but at that point, that's a fetish.
And
you're talking
just,
about
the women
big
are just
girls.
Sort of objects then, right?
I don't know. I just know that behind closed doors, that's really what this particular guy liked. And that was his
secret. Was there anything about his history or anything?
I was in college. I didn't ask him all that. Yeah, he just told me, he said, I like big girls. And I was like, hey, I do too. He said, no, I like big girls. And I was like, what? He pulled out this album cover and this chick, her ass was as big as El Segundo. You know, and I was like, wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's really what he was
and
into.
And the guys that are into it are
kind of like chunky.
And the guys are into it.
Chunky but funky, baby.
And the guys are very into it. And you're right, it does have a fetishistic quality.
Well, I
to
guess
it.
That's what it is. I mean, it's I don't see any ethnicity that pushes toward that. But I know that there's a new aesthetic. If you go and get King Magazine, if you go and get magazines that cater to a really R&B readership, the pinup women that they have, these models have huge asses. Huge. I mean, like, it's the closest you could come to streamlining that aesthetic would be Jennifer Lopez. But when she first blew up, a lot of white chicks would go, she's fat. And everybody else, we're all going, no, that's a ghetto booty, and it's beautiful.
And but that's kind of slim, though, too.
Yes,
it's just
yes,
a certain
yes.
shape.
Yes, right. What are you trying to tell me, Dr. Dre?
No, no, I'm curious. I can't nobody ask this. No, David, please, you're my buddy.
Do you like that? Do you like that? Yes, he does.
A little towards
that, I
guess.
I think you have a chocolate problem. I think you do. Let's delve into this later. It's not about you. It's not Dr. Drew's love line.
No, it isn't.
We're helping
I'm trying
babies.
To shed some light on this thing that never...
Dr. Drew, it is 10:25. There are kids out there. No break. Next caller.
We have to take a break.
Jennifer from Idaho. What's going on?
1-800. She's from Illinois.
1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, my headphones are not... I can't hear her. Hello, Jenny?
Oh, and we'll be right back.
Loveline. How do you want me to say it?
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
Here we are in Loveline. I think we've struck a chord here with
not
some
with
of our
me,
listeners.
Baby.
Yeah. All right. What we were hitting dag on. I wish we got to get a camera rolling during the commercial break. That's when the really
butts. Well, because we're not on the air, we can really cut loose. You know, you're slinging with the F-bomb and everything. You're nuts.
Well, but we were saying what we agree 1,000% on is that the anorectic, you know, ramp model and photographed models really are not what guys like. And women think that's what men like. And they really don't. Men like curves. Men like women.
Yeah, well, Tyra Banks looks banging when she's not modeling.
Yes.
So she's put on a few pounds.
Right.
You know?
And men like fertility.
Absolutely.
That's what they're attracted to. And you're underweight. You can't reproduce. You can't survive pregnancy.
I do know this. If you came in and you were dating and you came in a room and there are 20 beautiful women, but if someone told you that 18 of those women were infertile.
Yeah.
Would that change? They could not have kids. Would that change?
You know why? Because because your brain would still be attracted to the symbols of fertility.
Well,
even though you know consciously,
statistics don't bear you out. Statistics say that if a woman says, and you have a group of women, they're all just the same in terms of hotness.
Yeah.
And you have two women that one says she's infertile, cannot bear children. The other one says she can. Men invariably are going to go to the woman who's fertile. That's primal. I'm just telling you
what I think is we're wired a certain way to see, be attracted to the symbols of fertility, the outward appearance of it, and so what's actually going on doesn't interest us. We're just interested in what looks like
know.
It should be.
Us.
Because
know.
When well, we were a primitive man, we didn't know what fertility said. Was.
Right,
we were just wired to
Yeah, but you could tell in other
things.
Ways.
Yes, but we didn't. But the idea of fertility wasn't something we even understood.
Can we take a caller, please?
No, we got to talk to Mikey, who's 28.
Mikey!
Dag fan.
What's going on?
What's cracking, baby?
Not too much. I want to say, Dr. Drew, I've been listening for a while to your show, and I think it's great.
Thank you, Mikey.
I listen to it every night. Yeah.
Cool. What's going on?
Not too much. I just wanted to tell David Alan Greer that I've been a longtime fan. And
thank you.
Just wanted to kind of bust his chops about one of the first movies he ever did.
What was that?
And it was actually his first movie I ever saw him in, and I thought it was an absolute riot.
What was the movie?
Amazon Woman on the Moon.
I'm so sorry. I was desperate. I was young. Actually, John Landis directed that.
Wow.
And when I auditioned for that role, O.J. Simpson auditioned.
Whoa.
Yeah. He was in the waiting room, and I came in there, and I took the role from O.J.
Wow.
Yeah, so Goodness. It could have been O.J. Simpson.
This is Kristen, 23.
Hi. I'm calling because you're talking about the big girls.
Yeah,
I'm 5'10", and I'm 230.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute, 5'10"? That's kind of tall, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of tall. You know, I'm a little thick, but
How do you do the radio math? It's like 230.
I don't know the radio math. It's just add 2.8%.
You're 252.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
No, actually, I think I'm just under 250. So yeah, you got me. But basically, I never thought I looked that good. It was the darker brothers that showed me that I looked good. It was the black boys, Mexican boys. I'm dating a Mexican right now.
There you go.
He loves that I have a big butt.
Now, do you believe him? Do you feel good about it?
Oh yeah, because now I found out a lot of other guys. But it's not just dark people. Today at work, I had a guy come in.
Maybe people with darker skin are just more expressive about it.
You know what? When I dated a porn star, all of a sudden, all these chicks came up to me that had any connection with the adult community. It was like I was ushered into a secret club. It was beautiful. It was like, you know, I only post for pictures. It took a long time, but, you know, I'm just telling you, there's a whole wonderful world.
Mm-hmm. And he had a shirt that had, you know, the Playboy girl on the back of the mud flaps, you know, has that one, right. Like a little white girl, and it was a chunky girl, a real big chunky girl. I loved it. I told him I wanted his shirt, and he said he had to have it. It was a small size. He didn't care. It was the only one on the rack, and he had to have it.
So now, was he really big or what?
Was he big, too? It's usually small.
He wasn't big. I don't know. I got a big butt.
Okay. Now, what'd you have to do to get the T-shirt?
Oh, I don't know. I asked him where he got it, but he said something. He went on about how it was the only one on the rack, so I didn't even hear where he got it from.
I want to talk to some guys that have this fetish to see what sort of fantasy that lies underneath it. Okay,
you know
thanks,
who I
Kristen.
Want to talk to? I want to talk to the therapist/hooker. From
oh,
San
you remember
Francisco.
Her?
God bless you, honey.
She has not graced us with her presence.
Please call
in.
I want to make a session. Okay. I want to make a double session, actually. You know.
A DP? DS?
DS, baby. Triple reverse cowboy.
Jennifer, 21.
Hi.
What's up there?
I'm nervous. While I was on hold, I wasn't that nervous, but
now you're on.
Put her on hold.
Yeah. Okay. I'm 21. I've been engaged for a year now, and
bad times.
I'm not that attracted to my fiance anymore.
Then you need to break it
off. Hold on. When did this not being attracted to him start? The day he put the ring on your finger?
No, it wasn't the day he put the ring on my finger. It's just like lately, like about 3 months.
How many kids do you have?
I have one.
Is he the father?
He's the father, yes.
Well, okay. You sort of relinquished your privileges here. So, get married. All right, Jennifer, you're mom now.
You can't just say get married. You have to.
Yeah, I can. I can't just say.
Why? I mean, if it's going to be a bad marriage, I mean, why would you tell them that?
If you're going to put a child in a situation where things aren't going to be the greatest between the two parents, why put the child through it?
Is he abusive?
No, he's not abusive.
So he's a good guy.
He's a good guy, but, I mean, everybody has their negative qualities.
Hey, Jennifer, I know what you're going to put this kid through. I know the kind of chaos that you have the potential to create.
Why would you assume that?
I feel it. I understand the
bad...
Were
you ever abused?
I understand. She was, yeah. I understand the bad guys that you're going to be attracted to, and that's what's going to destroy this child's life. Make the stable life with this guy. You've relinquished all that when you got pregnant.
Let's do a little test.
Be a mom.
Do a little test. Where do you live?
I live in Illinois. I live in DuQuoin.
Yeah, I'm coming out there next week on my Harley, and I'm just going to be doing some shots, jello shots, hanging out in strip clubs.
No, I think not. I don't drink. I don't do anything.
You don't? I just go. I go where my heart goes, you know? I mean, I'll be in town for a couple days.
You're rambling, man.
I'm rambling. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to South Dakota. So if we hook up, we hook up, baby.
No?
Dang, no. She failed the test.
Well, it's not that I'm just not attracted to him. It's just the sex in general. It's been that way for a while before I had my son. Hey, quiet, little one. Before I had my son, I just feel like sex is just like a burden that I have to do it to keep the other man, the person I'm with, satisfied.
Do you enjoy sex at all?
Well, yeah, a little bit, but that's after it starts. I mean, the whole thought of it even going on in the first place is
why? Why are you so aversive?
Drew, she just slipped up and talked about another guy.
I know. I'll get.
Who
there.
Is that? Who?
Anderson.
Anderson, how dare you? How dare? Where is this Anderson?
If you're Satan, I'm God.
You know you're not.
That wasn't me. I don't know how that happened. But wait a minute. Did you say that you're an abuse survivor?
Yeah, I was.
Well, okay. Then,
she didn't
say it.
I just knew it. I could feel it.
Drew, tell her. Tell her what happened.
Yeah, Jennifer, you're going to create. You're going to reenact that abuse. Every time you get a nice guy, you're going to sabotage it. You're going to reenact the abuse. You're going to find people to reenact it with, and it's going to be this. Going to be the transgenerational transmission of trauma. You're going to transmit it right on down to your kid. No.
Transgenerational transgenerositational.
And yeah, you know, you're going to do it, Jennifer. So that's why I can say to you, hey, settle down with this guy. And make a go of it. Have
a real
relationship.
Get some help.
You're going to need help. You're going to need help to do it. But maybe, certainly premarital counseling is a reasonable thing. But look, you have a kid. Come on. Let's get it going.
Wait a minute. You'd be surprised how blind people are. I have a friend who, you know, very well educated. He's married. And, you know, in passing, he goes, you know, every time I bang my wife, she always winds up in the fetal position in the corner crying, saying, Daddy, please don't.
Oh.
It's weird. Hey, let's go out and eat. I swear that was it. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, come on. I'm having burgers. Nothing. I never revisited it. I was sitting in that restaurant for 2 days.
Here's what you need to do. You need to read a little bit about your buddy.
Because they didn't make it, if that's a surprise.
And remember the guy we were talking to with the crazy?
Yes.
That's your buddy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he was caught in it.
But that's sort of the reason he doesn't really like empathize or anything with it. Because, like, isn't that something? Oh, here we go.
Yeah, but he did. I didn't ask him all that family history stuff.
Is he in entertainment?
No. Well, kind of, sort of, but not really. Done. But listen, he seemed more like a guy where a lot of times people don't really present themselves the way they really are until you're way deep in it. You know, whirlwind courtship. This chick is kooky and nutty. She's the perfect match.
I'm just saying.
Let's get married right away. Let's not wait. Let's get married right away. Uh-huh. 6 months down, she's crying in a corner in the fetal position. Yeah. So, you know, to his. I give him that. I mean, I don't know what. I mean, it didn't last, so.
No. Well, that ending is probably an okay thing for both of them, frankly.
She's off to 3 or 4 hours.
Anyway, so it is amazing that people, in our culture, it's like we don't learn life 101. Human being 101.
No one teaches us.
It's crazy. And we know so much about how they work. It's very simple.
We know so much, but we know so little.
Here's something.
Crazy, kooky girls always in our rooms. Next caller, shall
Dave,
we?
Dave, 26.
Hey,
Dave? Hey, buddy, what's happening? Here you are.
Not much, man. I just had a quick question for you guys. All right, since I had a sensitivity problem with the ejaculating.
You ejaculated too quickly.
Yes.
No, not at all. I was having a real hard time. So
when
I
you say ejaculation, did you have an orgasm and nothing came out?
No,
or you couldn't have an orgasm?
No, it just wasn't doing nothing, guy. I was shooting blanks. I couldn't work myself up to, like, if I jump in the sack with a girl.
Yeah, Dave, what's the question?
Okay.
No hypothesizing. Just stay with the facts. Here we go.
Okay. Genital piercings.
Yes.
All right. Since I have one, I put it in, and it made me more sensitive, so I could go. All right, so now I can go.
What kind of piercing?
It's a frenum piercing. It's underneath the head.
That made you more sensitive to...
Well, how did it affect you, Dr. Drew?
My frenum made me insensitive.
Really? Really?
Mine, which I did myself. You did?
I did. Well, I was bored one day. Mine made me sensitive, not to sex, but just to other people's predicaments. Then I switched to a Prince Albert.
Well, that's what I did.
Did you?
Yes.
I did a double reverse Prince Albert, and I did a what they call a ball hugger. And with a little chain, and that kept getting caught in my skivvies.
Yes.
So then I doubled her down to what they call a tribal chute.
Mm.
It's like a big metal hood you put over there.
And it goes right to the vas deferens. You don't have to ejaculate at all.
Vas deferens. I'm crazy about vas deferens. It's a definite. I'm definitely nuts about vas deferens. Yeah.
So, Dave, what's the question? Just get to the question.
All right, so if I pull it out, I get a tingling sensation.
All right.
I'm trying to go, working up. If I pull it out, will I eventually work back up and get normal again? Will I ever be able to go? Or what?
Dave, there's okay. Need a medical evaluation.
But I'm confused.
Need to put down the bong and the beer.
He never answered the question. I said, "Do you? Is it ejaculation, or is it that he cannot?
He cannot have an orgasm until they put the frenulum in, and then he became able to. He takes the frenulum piercing out, and he has a near ejaculation feeling, but he's wondering if he'll be able to work into the real thing without the piercing there. My thing is, here's my deal. I've never heard of a frenulum doing this, but God bless you. That's an interesting thing, and it worked. Fantastic. I don't quite know why you want to take it out now, if it was something that was effective for you. But I can hear, just from your history, you need a lot of things. You need to straighten out a lot of things in order to deal with this problem. A, bong and beard down. 12-step on. Medical evaluation. You want me to show them where the piercing is?
Yeah.
It's a barbell right through here.
Oh,
dink.
Boy. Is it this way?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But we got to take a break. Dave, let me say.
What is this? What is wrong with these?
I know.
This is nuts.
I know. But wait. Listen.
Who is in charge? Is this the FCC?
Dave, how much alcohol and pot are you doing?
Dude, I'm a heavy equipment operator. You can't drink or smoke pot, or I'll get high.
Preach it, brother. Yeah. Tell him.
What are you doing then? Speed?
Nothing.
No. You have no history with anything.
No.
Is it possible the heavy equipment, the vibrations from the equipment caused a problem?
Dr. Drew, please.
No, I think you get neuropathy down there.
Not at all.
Why would you, what made you want to get a piercing in the first place?
Because I couldn't go. Because I couldn't.
Let me take you through the logic. You can't have ejaculation. Put a spear through your penis.
That makes sense to me.
No, of course. Okay.
Makes sense to me.
Dave, I'm just saying, get a medical evaluation to see if there's a reason why this doesn't happen. I don't know what to tell you because I don't know what the diagnosis is. We got to take a break. David Don Greer, 1-800-LOVE.
Dr. Drew doesn't know. He doesn't know. Dr. Drew doesn't know. He's clueless. He's clueless. He doesn't know a thing, but he's Dr. Drew. Slap-a-boom.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
It's Love Line. I'm Dr. Drew. He is David Alan Greer. The phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191-6-7-8-2-2. And we're talking to Stacy, who's 23.
Stacy, what's crack-a-latin', honey dip?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, got a question for you, Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
You always talk about the girls who've been, like, violently raped or molested when they were kids, mm-hmm. and like me, who have problems with wanting violent sex, and mm-hmm. that's me, totally. Mm-hmm. But what can I do without going to counseling? Like, what kind of chances do I have of getting over that?
You have no chance of getting over it. You said without going to counseling, without seeking why do you want to get over it?
Wanting someone to hit me while I have sex.
Okay.
But it's working for you or it's not working for you?
Right. I mean, if you meet a guy who you love him, he loves you, he's into the whole S&M, BDSM thing, everything's working, what is it that bothers you about what you desire?
Okay, well, I'm getting married, and the boy that I'm going to marry. I don't believe it's right to have sex before you're married, but I did. But I haven't had sex for 3 years, and now I'm getting married. The guy I'm marrying, we used to have sex a long time ago, and I know he's not okay with it. He never has been, and so I've never had an orgasm with him. And I know he just loves me so much; he would never do that.
Right.
But like, am I just going to have to go my whole life without?
Well, you have to be honest is what you got to do. You got to sit him down. If you really want to be with the guy, right, Dr. Drew? You got to sit him down and say, look, this is my problem. And if you really, it sounds like you really are not comfortable with it for whatever reason. You have to tackle a problem. You have to go into therapy, right? I mean, and you know.
Yeah, in an ideal world.
Therapy is that I just don't trust people. I don't think anybody's smart enough or, I don't know, to tell me what to feel or how to get over something like that. I don't know.
Well, Stacey, let me reassure you, people are very smart and have quite a bit more training than you have and deal with this problem quite as successfully and quite routinely.
Yeah, but I don't trust you when you say that, Dr.
You don't want to do that, and the reason you can't trust is because of the extreme violation that you went through with the sexual abuse. That's very difficult for abuse survivors to trust. And that's why 12-step tends to be one of the more effective kinds of interventions for these sorts of problems, in that that very much addresses the experience of powerlessness and establishes trust with other people, builds the capacity for closeness, None of those things can you tolerate right now. And none of those are you going to tolerate unless you get into a process that brings you along. Because you're not wired that way yet. And something has to help you get through that.
Hey, let me ask a question. What would happen if you sat down with your husband and said, honey, I want you to cuff me one when we have sex. And he said, honey buns, I love you so much. Yeah, let's do it. And he was totally into it, totally into punching your lights out and banging the hell out of you. Would that make you happy?
It would probably give me an orgasm.
But
would it make you still happy? Make me happy?
You're still going to have trouble in relationships. Boy, you're still not going to trust. You're still going to tend
wacky,
to cheat. Yeah. Stacey, this is it's good that you sort of have a sense that things need to change. They do. Get help with that. Whether it's
the other
sort
thing
of
that you were talking about the other day was the EDMR process.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up with you.
What I went through was just one specific violent act of rape. I was raped violently.
EMDR would be a really good
What's
thing
EMDR?
For you.
Is that a new group?
It's an eye movement treatment that they sort of have you watch an eye a light, basically, where you walk through the traumas.
Like Scientology?
No, it's actually a legitimate treatment. And Stacey, you really might look into this stuff. And
I'll date you, honey. I'll slam your head in the door real hard. I'll run you over with my Volkswagen. I will beat you with a wiffle ball bat. I'll bang you. I'll hit you in the head with a chair. I will do it.
David, you're not my type.
Oh, God.
Shut down again. I'm leaving. You can talk to the devil, Dr. Drew. I give my heart to these kids, and they shoot me down.
You know, it's hard, isn't it?
I was going to slam her head in the door. She said no.
Stacey, here's the deal, my dear. you've got some insight.
Stacey, why?
You've got some ideas that are good. Go ahead and explore them a little bit. If you want this marriage to be healthy and survive, it sounds like a good guy.
I'll hit you with dirt bombs.
It sounds like this is a situation that could be really successfully treated.
I'll take a bunch of pennies and put them in an empty beer can, and I'll smack you in the head. How's that?
Don't F it up. We're going to be right back
Still
with David
no?
and Greer on Loveline.
Still no? I'll
no.
hit you in the head with a softball. How's that? No again.
I think the wiffle ball bat almost got it. The wiffle ball bat. That almost got it.
Oh, what a world, Dr. Drew. What a world.
Be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
That's right. It's Loveline. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. That's David Allen.
David J.
Dag.
Let's save some babies.
Shut up!
Sorry. Excuse
why?
Me. It comes out like that.
Wow.
It's like a shut up poop.
Okay. Let's get some calls here. This is Angel 21.
Oh, hey. Angel. First, I want to tell you, hot chunky chicks are hot. Just so you know.
How chunky are you?
I'm not chunky. I'm actually skinny, but I'm a lesbian and I love
lesbian.
Big girls.
Yeah.
My question is, I
chunky
broke up
funky,
with
baby.
My girlfriend, and after I did that, I've been trying to masturbate. I've been using toys and stuff, and nothing seems to get me off. Like,
well, hold on. What with your girlfriend? We didn't get that.
I broke up with her.
You're lesbian, yeah. And?
And
you're fat.
But, yeah, I'm a big dyke. It's good.
You're lesbian.
But anyways, I was
you're a lesbian.
Orgasm before.
You're
and
fat.
Now
you're fat.
Huh?
Nothing.
Go ahead.
Nothing. You're overweight.
She said she's not fat. You're not a big girl.
She's chunky. Oh no, the other one.
The
girlfriend's
other
chunky.
Go ahead. We're listening. What's
you're a heroin addict.
No,
I don't
that's
do
just
drugs.
Okay. No, I know.
my only issue is I barely learned how to orgasm and explore sexuality this year. And now I can't orgasm anymore. I use toys. I'm seeing someone else.
Is it possible you need to have intimacy, have a person that you feel close to in order to feel sexual?
Well, I'm kind of seeing someone like that. Like, we're not together. We just have a thing going on. And even
But that's not really closeness. That's just sort of.
Were you really in love with this other girl?
Kind of, but it was a big mind thing.
It was a big mind.
So in retrospect, you're not in love with her.
I hear you.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like was it a crazy relationship, really passionate? I love you. Oh. No, I don't. I do.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, totally.
I love you. I hate you. Well, then that's what you need to get off.
Well,
that's what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, you probably need that kind of chaos.
Yes.
Well, like, I went in therapy, so, like, I don't want that anymore.
Good. Good girl.
Okay.
All right, this will come along. When you feel comfortable in a real close, a genuine close relationship, I bet. And try to start working with the spigots and things. Use water.
Yeah, I like the way the spigot. When was that term coined, Dr. Drew?
Let's see. This
my
is
Manny Yoakum said that.
This is the
get your love butt near spigot, like right near trough or whatever, and get a crook in the a hose on a garden hose, and get that spigot right on that love bump. And I tell you what, you will see stars.
Term spigot. Spigot. But 980 BC.
Doesn't that sound like a derogatory term?
Yes.
You're a spigot. You make me sick. All you spigots.
So it's not like it's overstimulated. I could orgasm again eventually.
Yes, you will. I promise you will.
It's not broken. It's not broken, baby.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
bye.
See, bye. We're helping so many people.
Sarah, 24.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Sarah.
Okay, I have a quick question. I'm 24.
Yes.
I've had one live birth.
Okay.
And then I also had a molar pregnancy. About 3 years ago.
Is that a pregnancy in a tooth?
No.
Okay, because you said
it's
molar.
It's a mole pregnancy. It's just basically.
Is it a big mole that gets bigger and
it's
bigger?
It's basically just a placenta and no baby.
Okay, so it's not a big, huge blackhead that pops and a little baby comes out?
No.
All right, then.
It's a baby that doesn't quite form all the way in the womb.
Right.
It just leaves a placenta.
That's what that is.
All right.
And what's going on?
Anyway, for about like the last 11 months or so, I'd say, about a week or two before my period's supposed to come, like my breasts will get really large and heavy, and I'll actually start lactating.
Nice.
My stomach will swell, and I've been to the doctor and had like my hormones checked.
Which ones?
And my thyroid. I'm not sure which ones.
Because thyroid would be the most common cause of this.
Okay. Hypothyroid. They ran a thyroid test.
Did they check a prolactin level?
No.
Because the prolactin secreting tumors of the pituitary gland also
is that when you say prolactin that these are the professional women that lactate?
Yeah,
prolactors.
Prolactors.
Yes. Prolactors. Continue.
And are you on a medication?
No, I'm not on any medication.
And do your breast you get a lot of stimulation? Because that can do this sometimes.
Not any more than average, I'd say.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you something. Before you went pro, did you get the semi-prolactin checked at all? JV prolactin?
Minor league.
Double A? Triple A?
Double A for time.
Okay. So your question is what?
Has the breast milk production persisted since your pregnancy?
Yeah, like I said, this is just like the last 11 months or so that this has happened. My molar pregnancy, that was like 3 years ago.
That was the last pregnancy?
Yeah.
All right, you got to keep. It's good that you've had the hormones checked. Sometimes it's just the stimulation that does it, but you need to go back and talk to the doctor again. Try to come up with a.
What about the belly swelling? What's that? About?
I don't know.
Maybe maybe she's eating too much.
No, maybe she's thinking about to have her period.
Okay,
that's all.
Right. Okay.
People
that's
can very swell with that.
I know how that gets.
And 23.
Hi, I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
First one is I take baths with my 7-month-old baby.
Yeah.
Because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, is that going to, and I walk around the house not wearing clothes, is that going to have a negative psychological effect on me?
No.
No, that's fine.
When do I need to stop that?
Really, 17, perhaps?
It really is when they start to sort of individuate, when they, they're very close to you and your body now.
I think it's not individuate, it's individuatitate. That's the proper term.
Okay, individuatitate.
Yes, I think that's correct.
And at that point, when they start to see you as a separate person, you need to begin to establish boundaries and give them the, sort of competencies of having their own bed and you have your bed and that whole separation process, that needs to happen and you need to allow it to happen.
Okay.
And then once it happens, you don't want to be standing in the shower with your kid necessarily.
So you're saying
somewhere in that 3 to 5 window.
You're saying that this separation needs to happen, and it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You should let it happen, because if you don't let it happen, then it's going to want to happen, and you haven't let it happen, then it's going to have to happen again in some other way.
I want to speak to Beelzebub.
Exactly. He left the building. He's
setting off. I want to speak with him.
Yeah, I can't stay.
Thank you, Beelzebub. Beelzebub.
Yes. Yes.
Can you eat David Alan Greer's brain?
I've eaten it already.
Okay, that's good.
There's nothing there.
Okay, good. This is nothing. Jane, who's 19.
Where's the proven hoof prints of darkness?
Jane?
Yes?
What's up?
I got
drunk on Saturday night, and I lost my virginity to a guy that I just met that night, and I am currently dating another guy, but I haven't had sex with him.
What's the plan here, buddy?
Okay.
I don't know. That's why I'm calling you.
Well, how do you feel about the whole way that you lost your virginity?
Like, I don't necessarily regret it. It's just more so, like, the guy that I'm currently dating is, like, really has developed feelings for me, but I haven't so much, and...
This was an attempt to sabotage this.
You want to tell him, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You want to tell him. Yeah,
I
don't do that.
I want to tell him. Like, why? Why do you want to be honest with him?
But why do you want to...
I got to be honest. Jane, do you want to just kill... Why don't you just be honest and tell him you want to kill him?
Honey, you better sit down, because I just blew a sailor last Saturday night. I have to tell you, because I love you so much. You're awesome. And it just happened.
Okay.
Why do you want to tell him that?
Here's what's honest. I'm not into you.
There you go.
That's what's honest. This, what you've done, is completely dishonest as a way of sort of getting yourself out of having to tell him your true feelings. Because you better goddamn well know as soon as you tell him what you've done, you will crush him and he'll be gone.
Yeah, you'll
but you will crush
him.
As opposed to... I'm done. Then you can do whatever you want.
Right.
But,
and to tell her, it's a completely selfish act.
Oh,
this
tell
has
him
nothing
completely.
To
when,
do.
When you make amends that harm other people, that is not making amends.
Dr. Drew, hi, it's David. I banged your sister about 4 years ago when we were in synagogue. I'm sober now. I just want to let you know.
Not a good thing.
Another thing.
I'll be right over.
I squeezed one off. It was in the back seat of the minivan when we were going to day camp, and I never cleaned the seat.
The one that I sat on?
Yeah. Feel bad about that. I puked in your shoes. You know those high-top snakeskin platform boots? You always had that funky watermelon smell. You
in the 70s?
I puked in them. I'm sober now. I'm sorry.
Jane?
Yes.
I drew a picture of my wad on your notebook when you were in Sunday school. I'm sober now, and I just want to let you know. One of your triplets with the kinky hair may be my kid. It happened about 12
years ago. I wonder what you were doing
there.
I wonder what you were doing there when I met you in line at the fertility clinic.
Oopsie scrudles. I'm sober now, and I just want to make amends.
You told me...
I stole your down payment for the boat and spent it on reefer and Vicodin. I'm sober now, and I just want to let you know.
You've had those calls, yes? There you go.
I just have one more question.
No, wait, I have a question for you. Is there any chance you're pregnant?
No, you've used condoms, but I have to go to work tomorrow, and the thing is, I work with this guy.
What guy? The guy you hooked up with?
No, the guy that I've been dating.
You tell him at work. You don't.
Well, he doesn't know. What? I mean, why?
Tell him
determined.
At work. You got to talk to him at the end of work.
Uh-huh.
Don't put him on pins and needles. Treat him nicely. At the end, just go, look, this isn't working for me, and that's that. That's you
and
have
do
to
us a favor. Call us tomorrow. Call us tomorrow and tell us how it went.
All right?
Are you sure? You want me to
call
you
how it went? Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
So it's better than...
Don't tell him what happened.
Do not tell him what you did. It'd be cruel.
Okay.
Hey, stay on hold. We'll get your number.
Yeah, stay on hold. The Anderson's got you.
Let's do a little side bet.
That she tells him?
Is she going to tell him? I'm going to say she is. No, I'm going to say she is.
She is going to tell him?
Yeah,
she's
going to
tell him.
$5.
I'm going to say... my bet is she doesn't say anything.
No, I'm going to say she's going to break up with him.
She calls us and doesn't get anything done.
I'm going to say that she's going to tell him.
All right, I'll bet.
Okay. $5?
Joe, 26.
Hey,
good stuff.
How's it going? Nice to talk.
Good, what's happening?
Excuse me, Joe. Another person here named David.
Dig, you're the one I actually wanted to talk to.
Oh, now he says so. I heard, hey, Dr. Drew, how you doing?
He was just
how the kids?
He was dismissing me.
How's the practice?
Dismissing me.
You know what? I don't even want to talk to you now. Go talk to your friend, Dr. Drew, buddy.
I'm sorry, Dig. Hey, anyways, I just wanted
to hear you. I can't hear you.
You're...
What?
You're coming to my school next month, and I unknowingly made plans to be out of town that weekend.
Great.
So I was wondering what your show is going to entail and what I'm going to miss.
Well, you'll never know now, will you? You'll never know now. It's called Big Secrets.
What is your school?
It's called Governor State.
Yes, sir.
What state is that in?
January.
Tag's coming on the 21st.
What state?
Illinois?
Yeah, it's south of Chicago.
Yes, sir. Now, how old are you again?
I'm 26.
What happened, buddy? Why are you still in school?
I'm actually getting ready to start grad school. But
okay.
In what?
Slow learning.
PA, physician's assistant?
Yeah.
All right. Now, where are you going that's so important that you can't see Daggeroni?
I'm actually going on a grad school interview in another part of the country. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I totally planned on being there, but...
I'm just really fragile now with the holidays. Dr. Drew, let's save some babies, man. Can I step out for a minute? Because, you know, I just get this hurt. You know, the guy said I wanted to see you, but not that much, you know? And right now I'm feeling abandonment. I'm feeling like, you know, he doesn't really care. And I think I'm going to act out.
Worship the cloven hoofed prince of darkness.
Where is he indeed?
Come and join us, David. Thank you. Come and join us.
Josh, 29.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Not much. I have a question for you, Drew. I was a heroin addict, and I went through a detox down in Mexico because it's not legal in the U.S.
You're a heroin addict.
The detox or the treatment?
I went to a detox. It's called Ibogaine.
Oh, Ibogaine, yeah.
What is that?
It's a hallucinogen from Africa that's used somewhere places in the world.
That sounds like
lots
fun,
of problems,
man.
With that. I've treated a number of patients and went through
that. What kind of problems?
Well, let's talk to Josh first. I'll tell you. Okay. So what's happening?
I mean, ever since then, I've gotten my sex drive back, but it's my orgasms are really, really strange. Like, they're really fast now, and two, like, when I come, it basically drips out, whereas before I could definitely shoot.
Yeah. How long ago did you take it?
It's been 2 months now.
Here's my experience with Ibogaine, and I don't mean to really, rain on the parade, as Dag would say. But it works for about 3 months, and every single patient I've seen that went through this goes back to heroin. But it does work for 3 months, but the cost is permanent neurologic change. They're not the same. It's a profoundly powerful
hallucinogen. And how do they administer it?
Ask him. I think it's sort of a pill form.
Pill form. And how many times did you take it? Like, how long was your detox?
Basically, I took it in the evening, and the next day, I was fine.
So you took it one time?
I was a little bit tired. They gave me, each day after, they gave me a booster, but it wasn't like, you wouldn't go on the hallucinogenic trip.
But how many days?
I was at the center for 5 days.
Okay.
Well, hopefully,
I was up walking around the next day.
Maybe they've improved the dosing the way they do this, or there's some change in what they're doing. But I hope you stay sober.
Yeah, and don't be a drip.
And I hope that Beelzebub.
Yes, Doctor.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I'm going to call upon you now and then just to help you, David. I appreciate it.
Have a bad day.
Thanks. I hope these problems that you're sort of experiencing go back towards normal, but it has been my experience that people have some changes in their personality, some changes in their mood stability, Josh is describing, and they go back to the opiates in every single case I've seen.
Is that what Whitney Houston did in Africa?
Oh, did she do something like that?
I don't know. I'm asking. She went to Africa.
To get a treatment?
Maybe that's
why she's changed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Huh? Okay. This is Jonathan, 18. On with David Allen Greer, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Johnny!
Jonathan?
I think I'm scaring
people.
Yeah, I think you are. What's up, buddy?
Nothing.
Here you go. You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes.
My stepsister comes on to me and she forced
international. What do they call it when they bring on the international laws?
Thing is,
international laws of Bocasset are being what's it called? The Geneva Convention. But what is it called when you call upon them?
I don't know, but it's very boring right now.
I'm invoking the international laws of Bocasset here, Jonathan. Let's go. You know the law.
I know this, but she's not really related to me, and
you know,
it sounds funny, but
You violated the international law.
Can't they have acting, bogus call, acting lessons?
Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah.
The law is you have to, when you have a bogus call, it's fine to have a bogus call, but A, it has to be good, B, you have to sell it,
and C,
if we call you on it, you have to fess up. That's the rule of the
game. You know what? You fess up now, and you know, you live to be bogus another day.
Okay.
So do you have something you want to tell
us? That's the law.
Do you have something you want to tell us?
Me and my girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
It's like a telemarketer.
Neelam, 23.
Hello?
Hi, what's up?
Yeah, I've been with this guy for 3 years, but he's afraid of commitment.
He's been with you for 2 years. How afraid could he be?
That's right.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the voice.
Yeah.
Whatever I asked him about getting married, he would say, I'm not ready right now.
Well, that's for sure. Neither are you.
Well, how old are you?
23.
How old's the guy?
How old is the guy?
24.
Neelam. What's she doing?
I don't know.
Turn your radio off.
Next caller, please. I have a lot of things to do today.
Okay, let's go.
I don't have time.
Take a call for you. Nick, 22.
Yeah, hi. I'm a huge fan of actually both you guys. I've been listening to Love Line since I was really young, but I just had a question for Mr. Greer.
Yes, sir.
I'm a stand-up comedian myself here in Chicago. Yes. I've been doing it for about 2.5 years, and I just wanted to take this opportunity first just to say how much I respect not only your comedic work, but also your work as an actor.
Thank you.
Just your variety and just very, very good. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. But I just wanted to ask you if you had any advice for kind of a new up-and-coming guy. I want to take advantage of the fact that I'm living in a city right now that's very embracing.
You're in a great city for comedy. You should do as much stage time as you can. You should write as much as you can. You should try to perform every night, 3-4 times a night if there are that many rooms.
Wow.
also, try doing improv.
Before you were trained at Yale?
I did stand up at Yale, but then when I really started, I would go and we'd do rooms as many as you could, sometimes 3 and 4 spots. It was after I graduated, so I was like 24. But actually, I didn't really start until I had a career. So I stand in the Laugh Factory, you know, in the line, you know, you stand there, and I did an open mic night. You could only do it once a month. So within that month, I come back the next month, and 4 commercials I'd done had come on, and this movie I'd done had come on, and this, like, homeless guy who was there the first time, he goes, geez, you really blew up. And I never had the heart to tell him that I had a career, that it didn't just happen in a month. But you got to work. You got to work really hard. That's what you got to do. You got to do stage time, perform to as many different audiences. If you kill with just drunk white guys, then perform for old fat black ladies. Do all that stuff.
What do you think about the scene in general about stand-up comedy right now? I feel that kind of in the 80s, it was new, it was up and coming. People were embracing it in a different way than I feel that they are now.
Well, you have to come with the new, baby. You got to come with it. You got to come with the new voice. It's always, people are begging for new talent. I've been doing stand-up for like 15 years now.
You need to do what Dag does. Do Cheers.
Yes.
Do songs.
Absolutely.
Little Barbara Streisand.
Yes. But you got to get out there, man. It's beautiful. It is lovely. But they're the same headliners for 15 years. They need new faces, so do it. Good luck.
Sarah, 26.
Hi, Dr. Drew, I want to tell you I love your show, but David, you're so obnoxious. I can't hear anything
you're
saying.
How dare you? What do you want to say? Go ahead. The floor is yours. Go.
Thank you so much. Hi, I had heard that there was a pill that you could take after about 2 months.
Two months?
Bitch.
Please don't ever have him on your show again, because you can't hear anything. Thank you.
All right, go on. It's your floor.
Shut up!
It's all silent, and we're going to just listen. I really apologize, and sometimes I get carried away. I didn't take my meds tonight. It's all your floor. Go. Right now. Go.
Sarah. She's gone.
She hung up.
Well, see? Give him a chance.
Well, she was talking about a pill you can take after 2 months. There is an abortion pill for that. There are medical ways to induce abortion. There have been some recent problems with that where women get infections and bleeding and things, so it needs to be done carefully. The morning after pill, which is what we talk about here, is something you take within 3 days of an unprotected sexual encounter, and that will reduce the risk of pregnancy substantially, and that works by not causing an abortion, not interfering with implantation, but preventing ovulation just the way birth control pills do when you take them every day, just not as effective as the ones you take every day.
I don't think you answered her question because you didn't let her ask her question because you're too busy talking. Who's obnoxious now? Okay.
Me.
Enough said.
And this is David Alan Greer and Beelzebub and Dr. Drew at Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We're taking a little break. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. He's David Alan Greer, and he's obnoxious, and we can't hear when he's here, and he's got too much energy, and people from San Francisco don't like him.
Well, I'm gonna be quiet now.
They're racist. I think they are. I think that's it. I hate black people. I think that's it.
Well, this is it.
What else could it be?
I'm gonna be quiet now. So you,
I want you to. I miss the cheers. I miss the.
Well,
you
know what's none of that.
Guys, what? Drew. Dave, I got a friend who lives in San Francisco, and she says every time she sees David Alan Greer, she just thinks he's really, really sad, and she feels really bad for him. She doesn't know why.
On the street?
No, like every time she sees you on TV or anything, she's like,
he just
seems so sad.
Sad?
That's what she said.
That's great.
Well, that's what I think of. I have a gun in my car.
I'm
think of sad.
I'll be back.
Sad, uncomfortable, miserable.
Oh, man.
She's seeing through something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She sees through the tears. And
the tears of a clown.
Man, this is a tough Monday, boy.
Yeah.
Anderson. Jeez, Anderson's popping
Anderson,
in.
Dude.
That's why he always loses my drops. He's like, lost it. Sorry. Sorry, sad man.
Where are you going with this?
We don't need any of your sadness here today.
Because she's from San Francisco, too.
Yeah. You thought it was hilarious. He's like, tell that thing again about Dag being sad. How dare you?
Here's Mike, 27. Mike?
Yeah.
What's up?
How you doing?
We're good.
All right. My question was for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
My fiance is 34. She had a tubal ligation procedure where they took I guess it's like a rubber band. They basically put it around the fallopian tube.
Correct.
And it basically, like, it's not cut or burned.
They didn't cut or burn. Okay.
No. Right. And what I'm trying to find out is she was very fertile before her procedure. I mean, all of her kids were accidents.
Mike, what is the question?
Yeah, the question is, if she gets that reverse, what are, like, the statistics or the chances on a successful?
I don't know. You need to find out what kind of procedure was done, and a gynecologist could tell you that. Many of these are reversible, but even if it's not reversible, you could get eggs harvested, put, you know, in the uterus, and, you know, you can just sort of basically skip over the tubes.
But how's the baby going to get down the tube? Because it gets to the knot where the rubber band is. What does it do then?
Do you take the rubber band off and let it go, or you suck the eggs off?
Excuse me. No, you said suck the eggs off. Is that
whatever?
What is wrong with you?
I know it's bad.
I just wanted to say that I think your guest is probably one of the funniest people I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. No more devil stuff for you, Mister. You're going to win $1 million tomorrow.
But Mike, there are procedures, fertility procedures, where they take the eggs out. They can implant it in certain places, sometimes in the tube, sometimes in the uterus. Sometimes they can fertilize the eggs before they put them in. There's a lot of things that can be done that can bypass the tubes, okay?
He likes me. He really likes me. I hope you heard that, Anderson.
Ashley, how about you? 20.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say that David Alan Greer, you're not stupid. That other girl,
thank you.
She doesn't know what she's talking about.
That was my first wife. She didn't want to go there, so.
No, don't even trip. She's hating.
Thank you, baby. Thanks.
Yeah.
Don't trip on it.
Keep up the good work. I've seen some of your stuff, and you're beautiful.
Thank you, baby.
Ashley. You're going. You're getting there.
Oh, and Dr. Drew, I want you to know that I really look up to you. You're so intelligent and intellectual. You're, like, one of my, like, cool people up there. So, yeah.
Well, there goes her credibility, Dave.
Well, I know. You got anybody else you want to compliment, Anderson?
Well, I promise I'm not trying to kiss butt, you know.
I think you are. Anderson, you are a genius. The way you press the buttons, you are cool, you are tight. Keep doing your good work. Okay.
Here's Jenny, 22.
Hi, Hi.
Hey, Jenny, what's up?
Oh, I have a quick question.
Good.
I just recently got married, and like it's September, and I found out that my husband has like premature ejaculation.
Oh, so it's not a question that we're going to finish in a short period of time. It's a question about quick. It's a quick question.
Yeah.
See, it's about quick. I get it. A quick question. Okay.
Like, how did
you just found out? Wait a minute. You just found out?
No, well, they told me that's what it was, and I didn't know what it was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever?
I thought it was normal.
Ooh. Is this the first guy you've ever been with?
Yes.
How long does he go before he's done?
Like, within a minute, 2 minute range.
So it's like, yeah. Ooh.
Oh. So it's David on Greer time. Can he do it a second time?
Sometimes.
And how long does that one take?
It takes much longer.
All right, well, there you go. They work with it.
Tell him to squeeze one off first.
By himself, yeah.
Come to mama.
Yeah, Jenny, it's good. It's fine. Plus, there are going to be some medications available, something called Duloxetine. No, what's it called?
So it's a permanent thing. It's just have to
You just got to work with it. Yeah, every man kind of has his clock. Well, it'll get longer as he gets older.
Wow.
But every man kind of has his clock, and some guys it takes too long, some are too short. But there is a medicine that's going to help guys.
Isn't that medicine called tequila?
No, it's actually a serotonin. It's not really an reuptake inhibitor. It's a serotonin agonist, I think. Agonist.
Yeah, I think it's the serotonin antagonistatiousness.
And it's going to make guys go longer.
Yeah, right.
And it's a short-acting medicine, so you can take it for like half an hour, and then it's out of your system.
So you're saying it's a short-acting medication that makes you last longer.
That's what I'm saying.
So you got to go short if you want to go long.
You know, it's long for the ejaculation, short for medication duration.
Is it a long time to get this medication that's quick-acting, but it takes
FDA
a long time?
The FDA is in the process of approving it.
Is that going to be a short or long process?
Long process.
Okay. So
for
it
short
does,
medicine,
but if
for
the
long
FDA really approved it quickly, would they be premature approval organizations? Or no?
Yes.
Is there a cure for that?
Yeah, new administration.
Okay. Was that going to be longer or shorter?
Longer.
Okay. Next caller!
Lindsay, 21. Lindsay?
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, hi.
What's up there?
Right. I just recently moved in with a guy about in the summer, and we were in a relationship, and then we started fooling around and having sex about five times.
Hold on. You were in a relationship, that's why you moved in?
No, I wasn't in a relationship.
You were not.
I didn't know him. Yeah, I didn't know him. And then I moved in.
And then you decided you liked him.
Yeah, I liked him a lot, and I thought he knew it because everyone thought we were together. And so we were fooling around a lot and everything. And then I had talked to him about it, and he said that he wasn't sure if it was a good idea since we were living together. So I decided to move out. And then now that I've moved out and everything and like plans were to move out, one day he told me last week that he just wants to be friends now.
Right,
so,
that's where he's. That's
so
where he's been. All, he's been in the friends with benefit modes all along. He never said I want a relationship. He said he wants you out of here. I mean, that's not the way a guy behaves that wants a relationship. That's the way a guy behaves that's having sex, likes having sex with you, and that's it. Men have sex without feeling routinely.
That's true. That's what makes
us. For that long though, for 4 months.
What's that?
For that long, and it
indefinitely,
was...
indefinitely.
How long were you guys hitting it?
Ooh, about 4 months. Since I moved in.
Yeah. Now, the friends with benefit things, sometimes guys get sucked into that and the women don't.
Sucked into that. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I keep using that word, huh?
Wow. No, I mean like sucked into it, like just like a vortex.
Okay.
Relationship vortex.
Yes. It's the friends with benefit.
Absolutely no feeling
correct.
For me.
Correct. Just because he was having sex doesn't mean
Ooh,
a damn
this
thing.
This is tough love. Did he ever tell you that he loved you and stuff?
No, but he told me that he cared about me, and I wanted to move back home.
Cares about you like a friend. And listen, Lindsay, if there's one lesson you learned from this, do not think that a guy having sex is experiencing anything like what you're experiencing.
Unless he says it.
He can't think that men are capable of it, but they very often, particularly in their 20s, for the most part, are disconnected from their emotional experience when they're having sex.
Oh.
Okay?
All right.
We couldn't hear you. What was that?
I said, all right. I thought, I don't know.
I know. You thought a man's mind worked like yours does. It doesn't. Uh-huh. It doesn't. Male and female brains are very, very different. Now,
ours
women
are bigger, and we have more junk in them.
No, we have less going on in them. And,
really?
Yes.
I didn't know
And
that.
Women have a much broader spectrum of their responsiveness and their experiences. Some women are more towards the male spectrum, and some women are an entirely different sort of functioning.
You know what? I've never... I constantly meet women, and it's always a chick who goes, I'm like a dude.
Yeah.
They're never like dudes.
No, never quite. But they're more in that spectrum.
They never are. Well, in 2 weeks, they're like, let's get married.
No, I would beg different than that because I've seen the functional MRI material, and most women are sort of very different than men in terms of their drives and what triggers their drives. But some women, you can see that they're having similar kinds of drive, sexual drive, appetite in response to similar stimuli to men.
So you're saying that they're different people make up this crazy quilt of a world we live in.
That men are basically pretty much the same. That little piece of Y chromosome, that little, it's a very little tiny bit of genetic material, makes us pretty much all the same.
Right.
And those two huge X chromosomes make all the women very, very different.
So all men are the same, all women are different.
For the most part.
How dare you?
This is Stephanie, 21.
I'm different.
Hi. Yes? I'm just curious. My breasts are always sore and sensitive, and I was wondering if there's any vitamin or medication or anything I can do to stop them from being sensitive.
Are you on medication?
Am I? Paxil Wellbutrin.
Okay, well, will be one of those. I think Wellbutrin can cause a little tenderness. Has it been since you've been on the medicines?
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
Are you on anything else?
No, uh-uh.
No over-the-counter medicines or anything like that?
No, I haven't taken anything in a week or more.
What were you taking before?
Like ibuprofen.
Do you take anything for your stomach? Do you take anything for your stomach? Take Tagamet or something like that?
No, uh-uh.
All right. I'd have to look it up, tell you the truth, but psychotropic medications, I think Wellbutrin can do this, can often cause breast milk production, cause tenderness in the breast, that kind of thing. So I would sort of be talking to your doctor about that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Is it common to prescribe Wellbutrin if you're trying to quit smoking?
Yes.
Really?
It works.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, the literature on that is pretty clear that if you use the nicotine replacement, the patches, the gums, the lozenges, all that stuff, during the first 2 weeks of abstinence and then kick in the Zyban, you have the highest probability of success with sustained nicotine abstinence.
You know, I had a girlfriend when I was like in 10th grade, you know, and she went on birth control pills and her breasts blew up and they got so sensitive you couldn't even blow on them. Very sensitive.
That's whatever you're into, but anyway, there.
Did Dr. Drew just tell a jokey? Someone told a jokey. If that's what you're into, hey, of course I'm into it, knucklehead.
So, but yes, there are some women, interesting enough, that will have, the women always call this show How to Make My Breasts Bigger or those all these pills. No. Birth control pills sometimes, particularly those that are more estrogenic, will cause breast growth in some,
I think
some women.
It's estrogeniotic. Is the real
I
term.
Think it's ethanyl estradiol. Ethanyl estradiol.
Let's take another caller.
I just wonder if ethanyl's out on the porch.
Ethanyl! Bring your whips in this house! Next caller.
We got to take a break. 1-800-LOVE-191.
I want the mean lady to call back from San Francisco.
Sarah from San Francisco, give us a call.
Please, I love you.
Dave wants to make his case to you.
I want you to be my wife.
Oh, he loves abuse.
I really do. I love it. Shut up! No, I won't.
All right, we'll be right back.
Gefühl pur. Die Love Line. Love Line. This is Love Line.
Right, it's Loveline. He's David Alan Greer. It's Wico Dag.
Hello again, my friend. I think I've fallen in love tonight, Dr. Drew.
With Sarah in San Francisco?
Sarah from San Francisco. Call me back. It's a love match made in heaven.
Let's talk first to David, 23. There you go, David. Here we are.
Is this me?
This is you.
All right. So here's my question. I'm 23 years old. I have an ex-girlfriend that is 23 years old. All right. And after me, she had claimed to be a sex addict. All right? And after me, she had been with 8 people. And now me and her are talking about getting back together, and I'm not so sure about it.
Why'd you break up with her?
I broke up with her because the mother of my daughter, because I felt that I needed to be with the mother of my daughter.
Good.
All right. Reasonable impulse. What happened with that?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What happened with that relationship?
I happen to be still very attached to the girl that I broke up with for her.
Just out of curiosity. You mean this girl we're talking about now?
The
just out of curiosity, when this whole idea of her being a sex addict came up, was it after you freaked out at the fact that she'd been with 8 guys? Or did she first say, I got addicted and here's what happened?
No, she had told me that she became addicted.
You said she's been with 8 guys over what period of time? Like how long?
Is this David?
Yeah.
She had been with 8 people only after maybe 3 or 4 months.
Okay, so within 3 or 4 months' time, she's been with 8 different guys, and she just came to you on her own and said, I think I'm a sex addict?
Yes. She had told her therapist, because she has to go to therapy under law.
Why?
Of a previous felony that she had committed.
What's the felony?
Robbery, I believe. No. I'm sorry. The felony was she had pills on her at the time that she had been pulled over for a traffic violation.
So she's a drug addict.
All right.
Yeah? Drug addict, yes? Okay.
Yes.
Well, drug addiction, that's one check in the possible addicted category. And does she have a sexual abuse history?
She doesn't. No. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Actually, she does. Her father.
Number 2. So there you go. That sort of adds up to sexual addiction. So, yes,
I'll give you some advice, man. You know what? If a chick tells you that,
run.
You should believe her.
Yeah.
No, you should believe her.
Yeah.
You should believe her. I don't care how she has behaved with you, but you should believe her. So many times in our lives, people tell us exactly
what is up.
They are going to do.
Yeah.
What they have done in the past.
You're right.
And you proceed ahead and go, not with me. And then 6 months
I'll
later.
Change them.
Exactly. 6 months later.
Have you done that?
It's happened to me.
But no
way. It was all there. It was all there. The girl told me exactly this. And I was like, get out of here. We're talking about it. It's healthy. It's good. It won't happen again. You should believe her.
There's multiple levels of denial. One is you're so attracted. You just don't even, your brain isn't like hearing things.
Right.
Then there is like, well, we'll get through that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I'm going to fix this. There's many different ways that you sort of have disturbed and distorted thinking about another person. Yeah. Open your mind. And when somebody tells you, like, for instance, that caller a few minutes ago who was living with the guy who was having sex with her and said, I'm not into you. You need to move out of here.
Right.
Go ahead and listen to that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
She didn't hear that though.
Yeah, she heard. But you love me. I love you. You must love me. You must.
No. Believe it, man. Believe it.
People have separate feelings from our own. David, here's what you need to do before you make one. This David, the caller, not you, David. But you wouldn't.
When do I get?
Wouldn't
some
hurt
advice?
You either. I'm gonna. You listen to this advice.
Okay,
too.
I'm all ears.
Get your A to a Al-Anon meeting, and get a 12-step sponsor. Work the steps yourself, and then see if you still want to go into this relationship. Do not. Jump in until you've done that.
I'm going to do that because I think I'm addicted to you and this show.
We need to break that.
Well, I want to break the cycle.
But you know what I'm missing, though?
What is it? This isn't a request line. What is it?
The benefits of codependency. You know what I mean? If you're really that into it, you need to be codependent on me and keep me pumped up and feel good and bring me things.
I got to start with the emails again. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Have a good, blissful day.
And then the scary thing is that you change it to email like 8 minutes later. You change your address.
I had to because
7 times?
Well, because someone kept like getting my account and it was compromised.
7 times?
Every time I've changed it is because I go online or I get a bill and it's somebody else who's gotten into my email and compromised my account.
Yeesh.
That's why I have to change my email.
Oof. David 23. Another David.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew?
We're good. What's happening there?
Hey, I have a girlfriend of 4 months. She's currently married still, and we were together for 4 months. She's been real honest and told me that she even tells her separated husband that she's seeing me. And, you know.
Do you wear a flak jacket all the time?
No, I don't.
You may
she's
need
separated,
to.
Though, right?
That's what she says. But they're trying to sell a house all at once right now. But
turn your radio down.
Yes, sir.
No. Military.
And you know, police the other day we were having sex, and she ended up calling me her ex-husband's name about 30 seconds later. So I ended up leaving the house, and the next day breaking up with her.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a manager
of what?
At a Kentucky Fried Chicken
restaurant.
Good. That's good stuff.
And she's 27, and I really
it
like
it. Looks really
her,
good as the Kenny Rogers chicken. You ever had that?
No, I never.
So
have.
Good.
Really?
You're crazy.
What's up, David, get some, man. Dr. Drew.
Yeah. All right, sir.
I was wondering if I was being insecure about
yes,
her
being,
doing that.
You're being ridiculous. But this situation, I'm not sure you're making a bad choice.
Well, can I again give you some advice? I was married for 7 years.
Were you married that long?
Yeah, I was married for 7 years. I was with my wife 10 years.
When was that?
I got a divorce 10 years ago.
So you were young.
Well, I was 30.
And then you just broke it out after that, huh?
Yeah, I did. I went crazy. I've never been as crazy as I am now. It's wonderful. But now I'm settled down. I have a girlfriend. But my point is this. The first girlfriend or two that I had, sometimes I would call them my ex-wife's
name. Right. It's in your head. It's like
one girlfriend really became upset. She would cry and unglued, and nothing I could tell her. I just was saying there was nothing in my heart that meant any ill will. It's just if you're with someone for 7, 10 years, it just happens, and it became like clockwork because she got so upset about it that it would happen more.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it just was a nightmare.
My wife goes through the kids' names and the dog's names before she gets to mine.
Well, there you go. And do you sit there?
Those
and go,
are the days. Drew.
Oh, yeah. But you got to chill out on that particular aspect.
Yes.
That perhaps she's just used to calling the other bonehead, you know, the name in a moment of ecstasy.
That's usually when she's yelling at me.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why.
It's beautiful.
All right.
We have 7 minutes.
No.
7 minutes.
No.
What?
We have like 40 seconds.
No, we don't. Next caller.
Let's just give me a cheer.
Next
give me
caller.
A cheer, David.
Next,
come on.
I want to save one more baby. Sarah, honey, I love you.
Hi,
call
Sarah.
Me back.
Sarah, 25.
Hi. So I really love the show. I've been listening for a really long time. But I am a heroin addict. I've been clean for 11 months.
You're a heroin addict. Congratulations. Wow. That's tough work.
My question is I was an IV drug user for a long time, and I've been clean for the longest I've ever been in my life, probably.
Good.
And I'm doing really well and everything, but the main problem that I've been having lately is I've been going to the doctor a lot to just get testing done and stuff.
Yep.
And
right, real quick, we gotta hurry.
Whenever they draw my blood, I get this.
You freak out.
No, I don't freak out. Like, I feel like I'm getting high.
Yeah, well, but
really,
yeah, the whole process of getting higher, the developing, the putting out the paraphernalia,
the
and for the preparation, the ritual, and then the vein, highly evocative, very obviously highly conditioned with the experience of the euphoria of the drug. Most people with the needle approaching start to freak out because they get a sense of desperation and all the stuff, and sort of would the need to use reemerges.
Pavlovian.
Yeah, it's a conditioned response. But Sarah, be careful. It's very evocative. Don't spend so much time in the medical system if you possibly can. That's very evocative to be around doctors and things.
Wow.
You start worrying about your body. You start thinking there are things wrong. Stay with your sponsor. Take your direction. Capitulate to the process. 11 months is great. You're on your way.
Go, baby.
We'll be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that concludes the second night of the Dag o' Plenty show of Loveline series, Loveline series, Dag o' Plenty.
Absolutely.
And we thank you for tonight. And,
thank you so much.
Shut up!
If you run, I hate that drop. If you run into a Beelzebub, I would like to thank him too.
I will thank
for,
him
for eating David's brain.
Just being evil. And I want to thank Sarah for bringing me down to such depths of depression.
Brightening your night.
I do. I love her. I want her to call back every night. Just get me straight.
She was talking. She was, give her a break after all. She was calling about abortion. I mean, she
really
had her priorities straight.
Do you think she was an abortion that survived and then she wondered how that happened?
I bet she'll call back tomorrow night.
I hope so. I love you, Sarah.
Until then, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of DAG saying good night and stay well.
I'll date you, honey. I'll slam your head in the door real hard. I'll run you over with my Volkswagen. I will beat you with a wiffle ball bat. I'll bang you. I'll hit you in the head with a chair.
David, you're not my type.
It sounds like a good guy.
I'll hit you with dirt bombs. I'll take a bunch of pennies and put them in an empty beer can, and I'll smack you in the head. How's that?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.